WISE Awards are back for 2024 and early bird entries are still open. These awards recognise the best use of digital media, marketing and commerce, and they also celebrate innovation and expertise right across the digital marketing industry. There are more categories than ever before to enter, so visit exchangewire.com/events to find out more. The Mad Tech Podcast Special, focusing on the most important topics in ad tech and martech.
Hello and welcome to another Mad Tech Podcast Special. Today our guest is Martin Sibley, who is founder and CEO of Purple Goat, the inclusive marketing agency powered by disabled marketers and creatives. Welcome, Martin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here today. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to chatting all things inclusion, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. So today we'll be examining the current representation in advertising and how we can make the industry more inclusive. So to start, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Purple Goat?
Yes, obviously, as you mentioned, Purple Goat is very much powered around disability and by disabled people. So I guess big part of the backstory is I have a disability. So there's a lot of just life experience of I've got a disability called spinal muscular atrophy. So I'm in a power wheelchair all of my waking hours. I have a sort of team of care support for the daily things that I can't do myself physically. So yeah, you can already start to imagine just growing up, going to school, going to uni, going on holidays, just doing those things with a wheelchair and care support has, shall we say, has some challenges. And then my first job at uni, I did economics and then a master's in marketing. And my first job was at a disability charity. And that really instilled the kind of magnitude of the challenges for other people like me and also other disabilities that aren't the same as the one that I have personally. And it really, I guess, the two key takeaways for the audience when you look at disability inclusion from a social issue perspective is looking at something called the social model, which is the premise that there's barriers from society that disabled people. That's what, why in the UK we use the phraseology disabled people, not people with disabilities. And we can spiral off into like language stuff if relevant later. But fundamentally, that the work is to remove these barriers so that disabled people can participate in society. And another big part is representation and inclusive design. So you sort of see that from my backstory, from the social model perspective, the representation perspective, it then leans into the business case of disability inclusion. So I've been a social entrepreneur for about 15 years. I started quite a few different companies, a magazine, a travel website, which we sold to Airbnb. And then, yeah, bringing us up to the Purple Goat part, that was 4 years ago. And it's very much to give that representation of disabled people in advertising and marketing. And I think what we've learned through the way we do it and the brands we work with, it's got a lot of learnings for other sort of communities that have quite often been left out in the marketing conversation.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. I mean, it's such an important topic really to discuss. So getting into the representation side of things a bit more, how lacking are the current levels of representation in advertising? And do you think it's been improving at all?
Yeah, so a couple of stats, and I think we're all mindful that, you know, stats are a moving target. Different organizations that do the research come at different perspectives. But the big stat that really prompted me to start Purple Goat was that 0.06% of adverts featured disabled people. Now, Lloyd's did the research. It was a few years ago now, but just in terms of why Purple Goat started, you compare that to it's about 22% of the UK population have a disability. Again, sort of globally, different countries, different variables, but it's in the ballpark of a fifth of any population. So we can already see quite starkly the gap between 20% and 0.06%. When we've seen a stat, I think Channel 4 did it more recently that there's 4% of their adverts, so that's of Channel 4 adverts. And there was another stat that was sort of nearer the 1%. So yeah, well, regardless of the nuances of those stats, we're a long way from having true representation of disability to that 20% population statistic.
Yeah, the stats show that it's definitely not enough representation. Yeah.
The numbers don't lie.
Yeah, not even 1%. Yeah.
No, exactly. Yeah. And as I say, there's all sorts of historical stuff around, you know, 100 years ago, I probably would have lived in an institution. We've had a lot of charity work that still goes on in a good way, but there's a sort of public narrative, which is an important marketing point, where the charity model has almost done as much harm around disability tropes and narratives as it has done good. And so, yeah, really, we're able, by working with brands, and a lot of our work is on social media, it's given representation, which helps to change stereotypes and narratives, and ultimately gives role models and lots of societal benefits to disabled people. But obviously, that there's this huge business case that brands can grab as well.
Could you share a bit more about how the charity model can be damaging that you just mentioned?
Yeah, so essentially, our charities are run by fundraising, and I'm making this very general, and I'm sort of, you know, paraphrasing things very broadly. So, of course, there's always some charities that are more progressive, but historically, a charity is saying there's a group of disabled people, and these are the challenges they face. We need donations to help solve this problem, and so Joe Public is giving money, donating money. As I said earlier, that the services are important, but the narrative is that disabled people need the funding and the support and the help of Joe Public to live a happy, positive, you know, everyday life. And I think the last 20, 30 years, the shift is where there's investment in disabled people from government and public sector, like care support and wheelchairs. In my example, I was able to go and get a degree. I've started all these companies. The companies have created jobs for people. So there's actually a bigger tax income to the government. So there's a whole public sector conversation there. But I think in the end, we need to move away from putting the burden on Joe Public to fund these things from the charity. But that narrative was damaging, because people just feel like pity and sympathy from those fundraising campaigns, whereas we can turn it on its head and be like, well, disabled people, we're consumers, and brands are talking to us because we want to buy the next, you know, trainer or go on the next holiday, just like anyone else does.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. Just kind of failing to recognize disabled people as like regular people and kind of their authentic experiences.
Absolutely.
So how can we most authentically improve inclusion in advertising?
Yeah, so our tagline at Purple Goat is "Nothing about us without us." And that was used back in the 70s and 80s civil rights activism of disabled people. But to answer your question, it's just about having disabled people at the center of the ideation of marketing campaigns, around the content production, which is where, you know, whether you look at disability or not, the benefit of social media and influencer marketing is you can go really niche around the content, around the messaging, around the audiences that you're targeting. Whereas obviously with something like a TV ad or a radio ad, which can and should have that representation, I'm not saying they should get away with it here, but it's obviously harder to do a TV ad that doesn't just speak to all disabled people, but all of the DEI strands that we're aware of, and indeed the non-DEI, you know, demographics as well. So that's the benefit of social media and influencer, which is why we've lent in so hard there. And it's backed up by a lot of numbers and, you know, data and performance metrics. But fundamentally, to your question, it's about having disabled people in the middle of it. At Purple Goat, more than half our company are disabled people. So there's absolutely that marketers with lived experience of disability. And that's a big part of our value proposition to the brands and the clients we work with. But then we do a lot of services around insights and research to listen to disabled people. And then, yeah, the training and consulting, and then the marketing communication stuff I touched upon previously. And it's then important that we have not just the diversity of disability, so the visually impaired community, hearing, hard of hearing and deaf community, my personal experience around being in a wheelchair, mobility. So there's that diversity of disability, but then there's intersectionality is really important that, you know, we as Purple Goat are very clear that, yeah, we want to make sure that those DEI strands of, you know, gender and race is very much the intersectionality within the disabled community as well. And ultimately, it's just having the voice and the experiences right at the center of that representation conversation.
Yeah, that's great that you mentioned, you know, the intersectionalities of race and gender. It's so important, obviously, to have a view of all of that together, because it all intersects. And so just going a bit further into that, how can advertisers kind of specifically go beyond tokenism in their advertising?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, that tokenism has been a big challenge along the road. Like, you know, we know Purple Goat, there are brands that will reach out and want to do a little training session or a brief that is just a sort of tokenism of slapping themselves on the back. I think that the answer and the reason for brands to not just do something quick and simple and brief for that tokenism, but to be longer relationship, more strategic, comes back to that business case. So I think it's 1.3 billion people in the world have a disability, and that equates from that consumer perspective we touched on earlier, about a $13 trillion market. So it's like actually brands that are just looking to grow, you know, for profit, want to grow the business, what better way than to speak to a completely underserved community that have money to spend, want to go in, you know, but I said earlier, buy trainers, go on holiday. That's the sort of benefit of doing it. And then the how, it's marketing 101. It's my day one of my master's. It was, you listen to your customer, you make any relevant changes that you hear are needed from that cohort, that audience, and then you tell them through marketing communication campaigns that you've listened, you've done the right changes, and you're the brand for them. And it's as simple as that, but it's getting brands away from the fear of cancel culture, and also to not have those historical tropes of disability in their mind as well.
Yeah, no, that's definitely makes sense. It's such an important point as well, that there's a huge market for advertisers to tap into there that they're not really taking advantage of. And yeah, you definitely should be doing that.
So how do you think the lived experiences of disabled people in your team can give your agency an edge over competitors?
Yeah, I mean, there are times where brands will be like, well, we've got a marketing agency, so surely we can just crack on with our current agency. And, you know, our overall point is the mission of that closing of the representation gap. So if in general other agencies can deliver on that value and this whole opportunity, that's no skin off our nose. We just want the industry to get better. But the reality is that other agencies don't have as many or any disabled people in their team. And so without that lived experience and that authentic understanding of disability, that's the edge we've got, is that we live and breathe disability in our everyday lives and through all of the work we do with these global brands. So we've built up in the last 4 years a real bank of knowledge and experience and learnings, not only of that older part I was involved in of disability inclusion, but of how brands actually can grab the opportunity. So it's that overlap of the social side, but the business case for the brands. And yeah, so having, you know, whether it's in our sales team or our, you know, proposal team or our account management or our campaign delivery, having that understanding of disability in-house. Yeah, as far as I'm aware, we're the only agency doing this in the world, and that's the value proposition.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, I think, to have, you know, people with their lived experience leading the change. Yeah.
Yeah. And as you can imagine, since we've really popped and grown in the success of Purple Goat, I've been drawn into a lot of conversations about disabled entrepreneurs and disabled founders and sharing my story. And that's been quite interesting of becoming a role model to the next generation of disabled entrepreneurs as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really nice. And with the 2024 Paralympics coming up, will that play a big role in your ad strategies and the campaigns this year?
Definitely. The Paralympics, you know, has been, well, it's been around decades, but I think everyone remembers the London 2012, where it was probably more on people's radar and there was a lot of, you know, awareness and sort of representation in mainstream media off the back of it. And all that was phenomenal. I want to just make a quick point about that. We sort of spoke about tropes and stereotypes. There's a thing in that broader disabled community of we're not all Paralympians. And that's been an interesting one to try to get Joe Public to understand that just because, you know, like I'm in a wheelchair, I'm way too lazy to be training that much on that physical, you know, sort of absolute pinnacle of that Olympic Paralympic world. But nonetheless, it, you know, it's for every 4 years, it's a huge moment in general for people to enjoy the games and for the athletes involved, you know, as I said, just climactic point of their career and their life. And so with brands who have become more and more interested in that, it's such a great opportunity to become engaged, more aware around disability, to get involved in the Paralympic Games. And we're working with a few brands on that front. We're also working on some of the actual messaging and campaigns around the games themselves. So it's been very exciting for us to be at the forefront of that. I think behind all of what I'm saying is that urge to brands that it doesn't mean, back to your question about tokenism, just to do something every 4 years with the Paralympic Games. It should be, if it is that first step, great. And we often talk about the inclusion journey with our brands and our clients, but fundamentally it's a chance to get the house in order to then go after that broader everyday opportunity that resides within the disability consumer market.
Yeah, the Paralympics is definitely a great opportunity as to spread more awareness about it. And can you share some more about some of the messaging that you mentioned is, you know, in these ad campaigns that you're working and for the Paralympics?
Yeah, and to that point about inclusion journey, so we're always meeting brands with where they are. And so because of that fear, we're always understanding and empathetic that we're going to have to play things safer with brands in those earlier days. So, you know, it's going to just be very sort of the brands associated, affiliated in some way with the games. And it's about just really simply sharing that fact and sharing that partnership and sharing that involvement and having disabled influencers part of the social media content and getting excited about, you know, watching the games together, all that kind of obvious stuff. But I think what we're seeing over these 4 years and looking forward to in the future is that we want and we will get more progressive, more edgy, more creative. So it's not a bland, let's talk about disability. And I don't mean that negatively to the brands doing stuff now, but I'm just saying there's a lot of scope to really go into all sorts of interesting, creative opportunities in the future as well. And I think brands are excited about that. It's just about that inclusion journey and that let's take a step at a time together.
So how do you think there's much of a difference between how brands did representation for the last Paralympics compared to now? Do you think there's been like improvement, or do you think there's been any main differences that you've seen?
I mean, beyond the big brands that have partnered with the Paralympics and have had all sorts of involvement with the Paralympic committee and the organizations around it, I don't recollect there ever being a more disability driven perspective of it. So from my mind, the change is ginormous because of the way we've built out the agency and built relationships with brands. we're having that opportunity to do more on social media with more disabled influencers and play around with different narratives. So yeah, I think it's changed a lot the last 4 years. And as I say, it's still the beginning of so much more to come as well.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think, yeah, as you say, it's a long way to go still, but yeah, it's good steps in the right direction.
Definitely.
Oh, thank you so much, Martin. I think that's a good point to wrap up on. And yeah, thanks so much for joining me. That was a really interesting insight, and it's great to hear about your experience and more about Purple Goat.
Thank you. Now, if anyone's got any follow-up questions or clarifications, I'm on all the social media channels as myself. And obviously Purple Goat's got its own vlog and website contacts if people want to get in touch.
Okay. Thanks so much, Martin. And thanks to all our listeners. That was today's MadTech podcast special.
The MadTech podcast special, focusing on the most important topics in AdTech and MarTech.